With more than 60 candidates running for Richmond's school board, city council, and mayor, Voices for Virginia's Children saw an opportunity. Emily Griffey is the group's policy director.
We've seen that it really takes working across all of these systems, the mayor's office, the council, and the school board, in order to make children and families a priority. And we want candidates at each and every level talking about solutions and opportunities to address the connections between poverty and education and opportunity in this election.
One in four lives in poverty in Richmond. The childhood poverty rate is higher at nearly 40%.
That's higher than Petersburg, actually. It's higher even than D.C. and Baltimore. So to us, it became that Richmond really is a city where our local elected leaders need to be paying more attention to this childhood poverty rate in Richmond, and where we saw so many connections to local policy opportunities and state policy opportunities to get involved here.
Griffey says it's important candidates understand the link between child poverty and educational achievement.
So what we know about child poverty now from brain researchers is that poverty can actually have an impact on the long-term brain architecture and even the person's overall health and well-being in the long run. The early neural connections can be impacted by the stress of poverty in those early years, and there are opportunities to buffer some of those stresses through early interventions. But we know that if a child experiences that toxic stress of poverty in early years or any other adverse childhood experience like physical or mental abuse, a parent with depression or mental health issues, a family experiencing substance abuse, family members who are incarcerated or witnessing violence in their community, that can have an impact on that child's brain as well. And that often is commingled with child who experiences poverty in those early years or lives in poverty. So given that we know that there is a long-term impact on the brain, there's also been some research on long-term impact on their health as adults. And there's actually research that shows if a child that experiences any of those adverse conditions is adverse childhood experiences is more likely to have greater risk of chronic disease, mental illness, or being a victim of violence themselves. So if we can intervene in those early years, address some of that stress that occurs with poverty or the trauma that occurs with experiencing some of these adverse childhood experiences, we believe we can help shape that child's trajectory through school and into success in life.
Are there specific solutions to toxic stress that you'd like to see candidates address?
Yes. So given that we know that the early years are the most critical to intervene, we think that candidates can look at the role of parents, the role that parents play in those early years, and building up parents' resilience. That can come through home visiting approaches, things where parent educators and coaches or nurses help a parent understand the role that they can play in their child's development, and also get connected to resources for their own mental health or the well-being of the child. The whole spectrum of early childhood programs also can play a critical role here, where if a child gets into a nurturing, high-quality early learning environment, either through a childcare program or a preschool program, that can help buffer some of those early experiences or toxic stresses as well. And then, of course, for any child that does experience trauma, and it manifests itself through behaviors or other issues in school, there are lots of supports for children's mental health and intervention with the child and the school setting itself in order to mitigate those behaviors and ensure that the child can stay in school and succeed.
You mentioned parental resilience. Have you seen examples here or in other states that could be models?
Yes, we have a couple of great opportunities for parents to have some coaching and support in their role as their child's first teacher. Family Lifeline offers a variety of parent support and coaching programs that fall under the home visiting model. And folks may know them as Healthy Families or CHIP or Parents as Teachers. And those are parent coaches that come out to the house and work with a parent in their role as a parent with their child, identifying any health needs that child may have, any health or mental health concerns of their own, and to better understand their child's development. Those are great resources to help parents become stronger in their role. Greater Richmond SCAN also has some parenting education and prevention programs called FAM, Families Are Magic, where parents that may not need a coach that comes to their house but could use some additional information about parenting or the stresses that are involved in parenting, they can access those resources there.
You also emphasize in your toolkit the education that takes place outside the classroom and encourage voters to ask candidates how they envision supporting the work of schools to link to out-of-school time and enhanced learning opportunities. Why is this important, especially in a city with such a high poverty rate?
Mm-hmm. We hope that candidates are paying attention to the out-of-school time area as a space that can help children become workforce ready and succeed in life. It's the out-of-school time programs that are working on particular career and education skills, dealing with some of the emotional and behavioral stresses that children may experience as they're in school, and connecting kids to mentors and other supports as well. So there are a couple of out-of-school time strategies in Richmond, some that involve improving the quality of those out-of-school time experiences, some that involve connecting to particular career pathways and workforce training, some that involve just providing a safe space where kids are not getting involved in any other risky behaviors or violence. And all of that can become an extension of the school day, and some of the academic support that is driven there can be reinforced in those out-of-school time programs.
What isn't being talked about in terms of education and children during this election cycle?
Well, obviously, we're trying to raise awareness of how critical the need is to impact childhood poverty. And to me, that comes from a role that any mayor, council, or school board member can play. We've heard from most of the candidates that they think education is a priority and investing in education, but we haven't always heard the details of what that looks like in terms of their particular support. So we would like to hear more from candidates about, beyond providing resources to school, how might they pull on any of our other resources or the information that we know about brain development and toxic stress in order to make connections to that critical issue from their role as mayor, council member, or school board. So we see that the language that our leaders use in terms of recognizing the importance of families in poverty, recognizing that toxic stress can play a long-term role, and that families need to be promoted and supported to have this sort of community and parental resilience, that all of our leaders at those levels can send a message that they believe that this is an important thing for Richmond for Richmond's future. We also see that there are very strong private providers in Richmond that are already doing some of this work. As I mentioned, the home visiting programs, the out-of-school time programs, the mental health providers. And we'd like to have candidates connect some public-private partnerships in order to leverage those resources moving forward. And then, of course, it is looking at the resources that they have already in education, social services, bringing in the health department, bringing in the police department to play out these values of identifying that we can mitigate toxic stress and build parental resilience, and really treating every parent and family in Richmond as important and as a valued member of this community.
So after the ballots are counted, what is next for advancing these issues?
So what's next is really to work together among city council, mayor, and school board in order to address these issues. And so we'd like to see those partnerships occur across the various leaders. We'd also like to see them continue to work with the nonprofit community, the folks who are on the ground as experts in this field, and really to start to use the language around toxic stress, adverse childhood experiences, and promoting resiliency to demonstrate that they understand it as a value, they understand it as a way to not only look at poverty as a problem, but the solutions that they can bring to the table to address childhood poverty.
Emily Griffey is Policy Director for Voices for Virginia's Children. Find links to their election initiative, Is It Good for Kids, at ideastations.org/learningcurve. For Learning Curve, I'm Catherine Kump.